Music in Maine through the centuries. On pop radio today, you'll hear some Maine artists getting airplay, including the Chainsmokers with Freeport's Drew Taggart, or actor and singer Anna Kendricks, who grew up in Portland. They are part of a long tradition of Maine musicians making their names on the national scene. From crooner Rudy Valley to country singer-songwriter Dick Curless, opera star Lillian Nordica, and more, Maine has a rich musical history that goes back centuries. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will go back through the years with musicologist Aaron Robinson, and we'll hear some of the historic songs that have defined Maine's sound. This program is part of our year-long focus on Maine history in connection with Maine's bicentennial. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news update. For Maine Public Radio, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. As part of our ongoing coverage of Maine's bicentennial, today we will talk about and hear some of the music that those who have lived here have made over the decades. My guest, Aaron Robinson, an award-winning composer and musicologist. When you think of music made in Maine, you and the audience, what comes to mind? Any songs, any old songs that you just love, you can send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Aaron, thank you so much for joining us. And I know that this is going to be a difficult task to make it through a lot of varied and popular Maine music in less than an hour, but we're going to do our best. We've got lots of clips of music. We're going to start by going back 200 years, though, when Maine became a state. What did music in Maine sound like?
What did music in Maine sound like 200 years ago is right. First of all, thank you so much for having me on the show, Jennifer. But actually, we have to go before 200 years. You know, the state of Maine and the music of America as a whole run parallel with one another, and both historically and chronologically, not just within the last 200 years of Maine statehood, but thousands of years prior, because the music played a cultural and daily functioning role in the way of life for the indigenous people of the region, which is the Wabanaki tribes.
Sure, and we're lucky enough to have some recordings, right?
We are, and I'll just very quickly explain what we're going to hear, because the tribes, the Mi'kmaq, the Maliseet, the Abenaki, the Penobscot, and especially the Passamaquoddy, used music in every aspect of their living, not just for storytelling and celebration, but they used it in an integral way of communicating, teaching, greeting, mourning, all of that. And it was primarily sung, but they did use instruments that were forged from the land, such as turtle shell rattles. They used dried hide drums and carved flutes, which, incidentally, Jennifer, the interesting fact is the flute, as folklore tells, was supposedly invented from hearing the sound of wind made over holes that were bore in hollow branches by woodpeckers. Mm. And the sound that actually was made back then by these tribes is considered what they call antiphonal, and that meant a call and response back and forth by intricate rhythms. And in May of 1890, an anthropologist by the name of Jesse Walter Fuchs was sent by Thomas Edison to Calais, Maine, of all places, to record tribal songs on wax cylinders. And these cylinders were the very first in-the-field recordings that Fuchs recorded. And they still can be found in the historic collection of the Library of Congress. And there it is right there, yeah.
So Aaron, when we hear that, it recorded in 1890, which is remarkable enough, is that true to what it would have sounded like even 100 years or 200 years earlier?
Absolutely, because this was passed down orally. Nothing was written down. So for thousands of years, they would gather around the campfire, and when tribes came together, this is how it was passed down through generations for thousands of years. And today, there is a man by the name of Dwayne Toma, who is a member of the Passamaquoddy tribe, who is the youngest fluent Passamaquoddy speaker. And he lives in Perry, Maine, and he is transcribing and interpreting word for word those Edison recordings to keep them alive. But it wasn't until 1700, now we're getting into the 200 years, it wasn't until 1700 that music was even written down. And in 1794, I believe, there was a music, of course, someone's trying to call me.
That doesn't sound like music from 1794, Aaron.
It isn't, no.
Too electronic.
Right. But in 1794, the first music folio, which was called The Harmony of Maine, was published by a composer by the name of Supply Belcher. Yes, that was his real name. And he first moved to Hollowell, which is now Augusta, following the Revolutionary War in 1785, and then settled down in Farmington. And he was the first member of the first New England School, which was a group of American composers. They called themselves the Yankee Tunesmith. And he was famous because he was the first person to set American hymns to what was called fuguing tunes, where one person would start a line, and then the next person would join in singing the exact same line at a different interval and so on. And it was almost like the sacred harp and shape note. And he was so famous that they actually called him the Handel of Maine, after the great composer. And when you listen to his music, I've given you a clip called Heroism. You'll hear how the different lines come in and layer each other as in a fugue.
And Aaron, what year is this from? I know the recording isn't, but what year was it written?
This was from the music folio. So it was right around 1790s to 1800.
Okay, great.
Why should we
It really is, Aaron. So, and I love them singing about their new country.
Exactly. Yeah, and it began a tradition of hymn singing, and as I said, shape note singing, and church singing, and of course a cappella singing, because there were not too many instruments in the church at that time.
So this is pretty grand and pretty celebratory. And what you're going to send us next or have us listen to next is kind of the opposite, kind of down home, right?
Very down home. Right. Exactly. Because if you didn't attend church on Sunday, you certainly did your own thing on Saturday and maybe went to church on Sunday to absolve your sins. So on a Saturday, you got together to entertain yourself. And Jonathan has started it. Okay.
Down the center with your pet. Ladies, hey. Balance, swing on the right, down the hall on the left.
Aaron, who are we listening to here?
Now, that's a far cry from Supply Belcher.
Right.
But now we have started to turn to entertainment in Maine, and not only Maine, but America. And Maine really did go with the times and started to, keep up with the times. So we're listening to one of the pioneer folk fiddlers, Melly Dunham, who was born in Norway, Maine in 1853. And he was so popular at the time that Henry Ford sent a Pullman car to transport him and his wife Emma cross country just to play for Ford at his home in Dearborn, Michigan. And Dunman and his Mountaineers, as they were called, they were popular for playing a dance style called contra dancing, which is the northern equivalent to southern square dancing. And the thing to remember is at the turn of the century and right around this time, music was not for listening to. You didn't play these things in the parlor. You actually danced to them. So a misconception about the marches of John Philip Sousa and the rags of Scott Joplin was you didn't actually listen to them for entertainment. You actually danced to them. So what you just heard was actually Melly Dunham conducting a contra dance with his fiddle and his mountain rangers.
That's incredible. And do you happen to know, Aaron, the recording we just heard, what year that's from?
Oh, that would have been right around the time that he was extremely famous, which was probably closer to 1890.
All right, all right. So we've gone really quickly through some of the early years of Maine, and what we're going to hear next, I understand, is a contemporary recording of an old song. We had the Ghost of Paul Revere on Maine Calling about a year ago,
yes.
But I'm going to let you tell the story again of what they discovered and what they recorded and what we're going to hear, what its roots are.
Well, folk music has never died out in Maine. It is stronger than ever. You can find during the summer a plethora of lists of folk festivals that line from the border of Maine to the top of Maine. I could list for an entire hour how many folk festivals there are. It is so prevalent in Maine. And the trio, Ghost of Paul Revere, wrote a song called The Ballad of the 20th Maine, which commemorates the 20th Maine Volunteer Infantry Regiment. And it was actually proclaimed the official ballad of Maine by Governor Janet Mills just last year in 2019. And it sort of sums up everything about folk music and the true history of Maine. It's absolutely wonderful song.
And isn't its style and its the spirit behind it, because the Ghost of Paul Revere had come across some old logging songs, and they
yes.
also recorded those. And so this is not something that was written in the 1800s, but is in the spirit of these songs that were sung in the camps.
Right. And more than anything, folk music is one of those types and styles of music, just like the indigenous people, that is really not written down but passed down audibly. You have to be with someone and hear it to really learn it and then pass it down again.
Okay, so let's hear a little bit of the Ballad of the 20th Maine.
My name is Andrew Tozier, I'm a child of Litchfield, Maine, and I left my only family for the sea, the salt and rain. And when Lincoln called the banners in 1861, well, I joined the Union Army for the land that I am from. Should die today, then dream a dream of heaven. Take your northern hearts with you to the grave. Be proud and true, you are a Union soldier. Stand fast.
Well, Aaron, you have very quickly taken us through the 19th century. We started the 19th century, or right before, in the late 18th century, singing choral music in church. We've talked about folk music. When we come back from a break, we're going to come into the 20th century, aren't we?
Wonderful, yes.
And if you would like to talk about music in Maine, either historic music or current music that resonates with you, that you want to ask Aaron about, you can give us a call. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. Before we go to a break, though, Aaron, I'd be remiss not to mention the Shakers, and one of the most famous songs in the world comes from Maine.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Which is, 'tis a gift to be simple, 'tis a gift to be free.
All right. We've gone through the 1800s. 1900s next on Maine Calling. First, we'll go back to Susan Tran and Charles Beck, who are in Pledge Central. Hi, guys.
Oh, it's so fun to be talking about music in Maine. And I just yesterday saw an amazing Yo-Yo Ma version, or maybe it was 2 days ago, of Simple Gifts that was on one of the PBS Facebook pages, and we shared it on the Maine Public Classical Facebook page. Anyway, I highly encourage listeners to check it out. But that's not why I'm here. I'm here for the business of public radio. It is the final day of the Pledge From Home membership drive, and Charles and I are here to remind you it is time to call now, 1-800-866-1475. That number is different from the Maine Calling number. 1-800-866-1475 is the number to call with your support now.
1-800-866-1475. Final day, as Susan said, the best time to call is right now. Maine Calling in the last few months has really done something incredible here in the state of Maine. Hats off to the team that puts that program together each and every day, and hats off to you for supporting it as well. One comment I think stands out, that Maine Calling brings the state together. Maine Calling, as you may well know, expanded to 2 hours when we went into the lockdown here in Maine, with very important, relevant, essential information for everybody. And interest in the program has just been astounding. And of course, as Jen Rooks would say, if she were here, and she is here, but she's busy doing her show, that they do some fun things as well from time to time, and today is a great example of that, looking back over the last 200 years for this state and looking at the musical side of things. The important thing is, as Susan said, the reason we're here today is to raise the support to make everything you hear on Maine Public possible. 1-800-866-1475.
That's right, and also online at mainepublic.org. What an incredible resource we have here in Maine, in Maine Calling. Jennifer Rooks and her producers, Cindy Hahn and Jonathan Smith, also with help from Keith Shortall. It's really a dream team, and it's the kind of public radio team that could be working at the national scale, but they're right here in Maine, covering Maine topics, speaking with Mainers, taking your Maine calls, and that's the amazing thing about Maine Public Radio. The talent that we have here is second to none, and it's so worth supporting. If you've never been a member, this is an excellent time to call, 1-800-866-1475, online at mainepublic.org. Invest in Maine Calling and programs like Maine Calling that we bring you every day throughout the year, 1-800-866-1475.
And maybe a few months ago, you weren't even listening to Maine Calling. You were at work and not near a radio, but now you've had an opportunity to listen in and have appreciated this program, as perhaps you also appreciate the CDC briefings that come along now on Tuesdays and Thursdays, maybe Here and Now as well. 1-800-866-1475. If you pledge on a monthly basis at the $15 level, and that's called the Evergreen Sustainer category, we will also send you a year's digital subscription to the New York Times. Ask our volunteer about that when you talk to them. 1-800-866-1475 or mainepublic.org.
That's right. You can also go online to mainepublic.org, as Charles was mentioning. And if you're thinking about becoming a new member and need just one more thing, just something else to push you over the edge that's beyond the news and beyond the context and beyond the information and the education that Maine Public provides to you and your family, beyond the entertainment. If you need one more thing just to tilt you in that direction, that New York Times subscription is a great reason to give, as is the exclusive limited design Maine Public Sea Bag. If you haven't seen it, you can check it out on the MainePublic.org website. You can also check it out on our Instagram or on our Facebook. It's a gorgeous bag. It's incredibly well made, and it can be yours for an annual gift of $500 or by becoming an Evergreen friend at $42 a month or more. You can do all of that online at MainePublic.org or give us a call at 1-800-866-1475.
So, Susan, you mentioned $500 one-time gift or $42 a month for that bag, and that's a substantial gift. And we thank those of you who give at that level or any level for that matter. But think about $42 a month and think about perhaps cable that you pay for. Perhaps you have a digital subscription for something else or a music subscription. The list goes on and on and on of other costs in your life that are fixed that you have no control over. And then there's public radio that does so much for you. And it really, Maine Public Radio is just part of Maine Public, which is Maine Public Classical, Maine Public Radio, Maine Public Television, four channels, Maine Public Online. The list goes on and on and on and on. It's a public service here in the state of Maine that brings you and your community significant value each and every day. Trusted, independent journalism, 1-800-866-1475. It depends on your support right now. Please call us.
That's right. A gift to Maine Public Radio is a gift to Maine Public. 1-800-866-1475. If you're like me, you're working from home, you have kids at home, and you need to make an important Zoom call or make a phone call to be on the air during a membership drive, and you rely on PBS Kids to keep your kids satisfied during those important meetings and important calls. That is something else you are supporting with your gift today. 1-800-866-1475, that is the number to call. We will be going back to programming soon, but we will still be here for you to pledge your support, to become a new member. 1-800-866-1475, mainepublic.org, and thank you.
Thank you.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Dead River Company, committed to keeping Maine's homes and businesses warm and proud to be a part of celebrating Maine's bicentennial. DeadRiver.com. By Harpswell Coastal Academy, a public school focusing on social change and entrepreneurship, enrolling grades 5 through 12 at harpswellacademy.org. And by Bristol Seafood of Maine, dedicated to bringing restaurant-quality meals to your kitchen with My Fish Dish, found in the freezer at your local Hannaford.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, Maine's Musical History, and we are talking with Aaron Robinson. He's the author of the best-selling book, Does God Sing? A Musical Journey, which chronicles his life and career as a composer and conductor in the state of Maine. Aaron, we're speeding through the centuries in Maine. I understand we're going to hear some organ music next.
We are, yes. It's the variations on the Star Spangled Banner by Maine's own John Knowles Payne.
Tell us about John Knowles Payne.
Yes, well, he is. He has a long root system. If he were a tree in Maine, he was born in Portland, 1839. He is considered America's first composer of large orchestral music, and he is the very first American music professor. He summered on Appledore Island, if Mainers are familiar with that, at the residence of Celia Thaxter, and a large gathering of very notable artists such as Edward McDowell and William Mason and writers like Emerson, Longfellow, Whittier. They all came there every summer and conversed. And Knowles' grandfather built the very first pipe organ in the state. And Knowles also took lessons from a man named Herman Kochmeyer. And many people listening right now might associate that name with the Kochmeyer organ at Merrill Auditorium. And Kochmeyer was hired in 1851, I'm trying to keep all these dates in my mind, as organist at the First Parish Church in Portland. And when Kochmeyer died in 1908, there was a fire that completely razed the Portland City Hall. And Cyrus H.K., which stood for Herman Kochmeyer Curtis, was a music student of Herman Kochmeyer. And he donated the funds to build an organ for a future auditorium within the building on the condition that the instrument be a memorial to Kochmeyer. And when it was completed, it actually was the second largest pipe organ in the world, and actually today it remains the largest in the state. And an interesting fact is Walter Piston, who was born in Rockland I think it was 15 Ocean Street in Rockland, 1894. And I know that address by heart because my father was born in Rockland, and I always like to drive down the Ocean Street to see Piston's birthplace. Piston was a Pulitzer Prize-winning composer whose books on harmony, counterpoint, analysis, and orchestrations, which I had to buy when I went to the conservatory in Boston, are still used in conservatories and music schools around the world. And the Rockland Historical Society has a display on Walter Piston's artifacts, and the Boston Library actually has a permanent exhibit of his library desk.
Next, you're taking us to learn about somebody named Robert Brown Hall. When did he live, and tell me about him?
Yes. Well, Robert Brown Hall does not get the credit he deserves. Many people might know him as R.B. Hall. He was considered the March King of Maine. He was born in Bodenham in 1858, and he was second only to John Philip Sousa, who was considered the March King. And the last Saturday in every June of every year is officially R.B. Hall Day. In the state of Maine. And a march of his called the Funeral March was even played during the funeral procession of John F. Kennedy in 1963.
What's the piece we're going to hear? Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, the piece we're going to hear is his most famous march, which was called Death or Glory.
R.B. Hall or Robert Brown Hall, Death or Glory. If we had lived at the turn of the last century, we would have been very familiar with that name, wouldn't we have been?
Yes, and in fact, that march is still being played in high schools across the nation, which is wonderful.
Wonderful. Tell us about Frank Churchill.
Yes, Frank Churchill. You know, there's quite a large tie-in with the movie Bambi that came out in 1942, I believe, because two members, one who is not musical, of course, Maurice Jake Day, was very instrumental in getting Bambi on the screen with Disney. He lived in Damariscotta, but there was a man by the name of Frank Churchill who was an Academy Award winner. He was born in Rumford, and he wrote the film score to Bambi, and he was nominated for two Oscars, one that he won for The song Love is a song from the film. And, you know, film scoring is quite large here in Maine. And, you know, I must preface this, that I've been talking a lot about people from Maine, and I could have just filled the hour with people who are associated with Maine, who have moved to Maine, because as far as I've traveled and as many people as I've worked with, whenever I tell them where I'm from, they always say the same thing. Oh, Maine, I've always wanted to live there. I've always wanted to retire there. And so many artists have, because of the beauty and the inspiration it brings out in them. So there are a lot of musicians who have moved here and are associated with Maine. And one in particular is John Morris, who just passed in 2018. He was a brilliant film composer who wrote all the films for Mel Brooks, from Blazing Saddles to The Elephant Man, and he lived in Damariscotta. And also our very own Lucas Richman, of the conductor of the Bangor Symphony Orchestra. And he has written and conducted for films such as Good as It Gets, Anastasia, The Manchurian Candidate, and The Good Place. But Frank Churchill hails from Runford, and he won the Oscars for Bambi. So I think we have a little clip of a piece from Bambi.
Love is a Song, Frank Churchill.
Love is a song that never ends. Life may be swift and fleeting. Hope may die, yet love's beautiful music comes each day like the dawn. Love is a song that never ends. One simple
can really hear the diversity in all the music that has come from Maine.
I was just thinking about that. That's right. And as we go into our next break, we of course have to talk about Rudy Valley. Tell us about Rudy Valley and tell us about the Stein song.
Right, absolutely. Rudy Valley, many people don't know about Rudy Valley. I mean, they might know his name, but they don't realize the significance in what he actually did in his career. So entering the 20th century, music in Maine branched off into several different directions. You know, as collective hymn singing made way for the popular secular song and serious classical music transformed into jazz, musicians from all musical genres sprouted up across the state. Well, America's very first teen celebrity idol, and I really mean he was called a teen celebrity idol, literally exploded onto the musical scene with the Stein song in 1929. It was also known as the University of Maine song. But Hubert Pryor Valley, that was his name, he was nicknamed Rudy, grew up in Westbrook. Mm. And he was quickly known as a crooner, and that was because of his soft, subtle singing voice. Now, a little bit of interesting trivia is that he used to entertain sold-out theater and auditoriums across the country, and they were all filled with screaming female fans. This was decades before the Beatles.
They
were screaming so loud that his soft voice wouldn't project because there was no electric mics. So what he did is he fashioned what would become his signature means of amplification, which was the megaphone. If you remember watching him, he would sing with a megaphone. And when he transitioned to radio, Valley inspired an entire class of legendary crooners, including Frank Sinatra, Bing Crosby, and Perry Como. And his song, the Stein song, hit the Billboard charts and was at number one for 8 straight weeks, even during Prohibition.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. And in 1975, at UMO's 100th homecoming, he came back at age 74 and sang it.
Oh, wonderful. Well, we're going to hear that as we go to break.
Great.
Oh, fill the steins to dear old Maine. Shout till the rafters ring. Stand and drink a toast once again. Let every loyal Maine man sing. Then drink to all the happy.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Portland Chamber Music Festival with special guest ensemble Time for Three this Sunday at 7:30. Full season at PCMF.org. By Bangor Savings Bank, celebrating all the ways people all over Maine are making life a little better. Bangor.com/spreadkindness. And by Encore Renewable Energy, committed to fueling Maine's economic recovery with solar energy for businesses and institutions. Encore.eco.
And call till the pledge phones ring. How's that? 1-800-866-1475, 1-800-866-1475, mainpublic.org. Good afternoon, evening to you. Charles Beck here along with Susan Tran for just a few moments talking to you about listener support and supporting right now Maine Calling that has been bringing the state together. I don't think that's an overstatement over the last few months and doing it today as well with a bicentennial look back on music. 1-800-866-1475.
That's right. That is the magic number to call, 1-800-866-1475. Are you like me? Have you been completely enthralled listening to all of this really interesting information about Maine and its connection to the music scene well beyond our borders? I had no idea about some of this, and particularly about the Stein song. That is so amazing. One of the things that's amazing about Maine Calling is that on the one hand, there are days where we're covering such heavy topics, you know, things that are of such great importance to the people of Maine, related to the pandemic or related to the election, so many different topics that are so important. But then there's these other moments where we're able to have this more entertaining moment to hear about something that's so fascinating. And those are all things that Maine Calling is able to do. It's able to pivot throughout the week and provide us with so many different topics, all of which are interesting and engaging. And that is programming that's worth supporting. 1-800-866-1475. That is the number to call or go online at mainepublic.org.
1-800-866-1475. When folks ask about Maine Calling, well, what kind of show is that? Well, it's simple. It's public affairs, cultural affairs, informational affairs. The list goes on and on and on. You're absolutely right, Susan. It's providing a great service here in the state of Maine and covering so many different topics of importance and also of interest, things that people are talking about, thinking about. Jen, earlier today on Morning Edition, was talking about the story selection and how that, or the topic selection, and how that works with her producers, Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn, and really thinking about what's on people's minds and what are people worried about or interested in or concerned about, and coming up with the topics in that manner. 1-800-866-1475. The business you and I have here is to get folks to go to the phone right now to make a call at 1-800-866-1475 as we wrap up this campaign, the final day here on our Pledge From Home campaign to support great programming on Maine Public Radio.
That's right. 1-800-866-1475. That is the number to call. If you've been thinking about this is the right time for you to give, it's the time. 1-800-866-1475.
And I think if you're listening right now and heard a dropout or two, it's not because Susan was swearing. It's one of those technical Zoom things that happens from time to time. 1-800-866-1475 is the number. You can also pledge online at mainepublic.org. We're going to be here through the remainder of Maine Calling. The important thing is that you keep in mind that you make this program and every other program on Maine Public Radio possible. 1-800-866-1475. Thank you so much for your call.
And welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today's topic, music made in Maine over the centuries. Joining me, Aaron Robinson, a musician and musician historian, music historian, who can trace his family roots back 13 generations in Maine. Holy cow, Aaron. Anyway, thank you so much for spending this time with us in our as we race through Maine music history. We heard Rudy Valley before the break, and you're going to bring us up to a more popular and more recent song next, right?
Absolutely. 83 years later, we have something in the same vein of the Stein song. 83 years later, little girl from Portland who's not a little girl anymore. She's an incredible teen idol herself, an adult idol, star of stage and screen, topped the Billboard charts with a song called Cups. And, of course, her name is Anna Kendrick. She's from Portland. And just as Valley stayed on the charts all that time, she did as well. So from the Stein song in 1929 all the way to 83 years later, we have Anna Kendrick singing the Cup song.
I got my ticket for the long way round, to buy the whiskey for the way, and I sure would like some sweet company, and I'm leaving tomorrow, what do you say, when I'm gone.
It is such a catchy song. Once you hear it, you can't unhear it. That's right.
I know. I can hear children all over Maine doing that Cup routine.
And if you don't know, you have to look up the video. There's more that goes with it. You have to be ambidextrous to do the Cup. I don't even know what you'd call it. Do the routine while you sing the song. Speaking of catchy, we have not mentioned Tombstone Every Mile.
Exactly. So, you know, as decades turned into, or as centuries turned into decades, sometimes decades even turned into weeks with popularity. And we had things called the Hit Parade. And you listen to Toby Tabutelier. Music changed so quickly with the times, and Maine kept up with it. So next, you know, on our slate was country music. And it took really strong roots within the state of Maine. And performers such as Dick Curlis and Donald Sloan. Curlis had a hit in 1965 called A Tombstone Every Mile. The song, written by Dan Fulkerson, talks about a real stretch of road called the Haynesville Woods in Aroostook County. And Fulkerson wrote it while hitching a ride between Bangor and Holton with potato truckers. And he said, it's a stretch of road up north in Maine that's never, ever seen a smile. And if they buried all the truckers lost in them woods, there's a tombstone every mile.
Well, let's hear Dick Curlis sing it.
Yeah.
You have really got it made if you're hauling goods any place on earth but those Haynesville woods. It's a stretch of road up north in Maine that's never, ever, ever seen a smile. If they buried all the truckers lost in them woods, there'd be a tombstone every mile. Count them all.
Count them all. We're going to go to a caller. Jay is calling from Westbrook. I know you've been holding on, Jay, but I know you wanted to talk about that song.
Well, that's just fine. First of all, greetings to all my former colleagues at Maine Public. It's good to hear your voices all the time. I'm calling from the very place where Dick Curlis recorded not his very first songs, but pretty early on in the late 1950s, and that is now the home of Lenny's at Hawks Plaza, kind of that legendary, iconic sign that stands at the corner of Hardy Road and in the Bridgeton Road. But I wanted to also mention that Lenny Bro played, you know, the legendary jazz guitar player Lenny Bro played on some of Dick Curlis's early recordings when he was only 15 years old. And this place is kind of a little museum in honor of the great jazz guitar player Lenny Bro. So Lenny's at Hawks Plaza. You can come and hear some live music, believe it or not, on the patio here, and it's kind of a living memorial to Maine musicians.
Well, Jay, thank you so much for calling, and I have a feeling you didn't even know that that is our final clip of this hour, right, Aaron? Lenny Bro.
Yes, it is, Lenny Bro, yeah.
Well, Aaron, what a breath of fresh air and a way, what a just lovely and calm way to have our last clip of music on this wonderful program. Tell us about Lenny Bro.
Yeah, Lenny Bro, what happened is after country music, you know, when the big band era really came into prominence, band leaders actually scouted talent from Maine. Tommy Dorsey recruited pianist and arranger John Benson Brook from Holton. Woody Allen called upon Don Doan from Portland, and Benny Goodman himself introduced Brad Terry, who lives in Bath, to his signature instrument, the clarinet. And one of the great jazz albums was created by chance in October of 1978 inside a Maine farmhouse. It's called The Living Room Tapes, and it captures both impromptu solo and duet performances from the legendary guitarist Lenny Bro, who incidentally was born in Auburn, and Brad Terry, who lives in Bath. And without any rehearsal or second takes, the two recorded tracks in Terry's living room that resulted in what is today revered as a classic. And even Chet Atkins, the great Chet Atkins, said it's the best Lenny Bro ever recorded.
Mm. Caroline on Facebook writes, when I think of songs made in Maine, the first that comes to mind is The Garden Song by David Mallet.
Right, right. There are many, many songwriters that, as I said, are associated with Maine. We have Will Holt, who wrote The Apple Tree. We have Betty Cody, who wrote I Found Out More Than You Ever Knew, Schooner Fair, Portland Town, Cindy Bullins. Judge Strunk, who wrote Daisy a Day and actually ran for senator in 1970. There are so many songwriters that moved to Maine and were inspired to write here in Maine. Roger Vinton Snow, who wrote the State of Maine song, who talks about the beauty of Maine. And, you know, I would just leave our listeners today with something that ties back to the Wabanaki tribes, you know, about the lane that, you know, Katharine Hepburn had this wonderful family motto, which was listen to the song of life. And I think that's why so many musicians moved to the state of Maine, because there is so much beauty that can be found within the pulse and the rhythm of life that's through the nature here.
An email from Mark. I love Judd Caswell. Peace and Quiet is my favorite of his.
Yeah.
Slade Cleaves, who's out of Texas now, but from Maine. Below is about Flagstaff, Lake being dammed and drowning the towns. And I was a big fan of the Maine metal music scene with acts such as Dead Season, Civil Disobedience, and Fifth Freedom, which unfortunately seems to have petered out.
Yeah, wow.
And then also, you know, we have to mention that you were talking about the diversity. We've played country music, we've played jazz, we've played big band music and orchestral choral music. I know that there's a very famous opera singer from Maine that we didn't play a clip of, but for those who love opera, this show would not be complete if we didn't mention her.
Exactly. We have one of the most famous opera singers of the last century, the 1800s, in Maine, and her name was Lillian Nordica. She was born in Farmington in 1857, and she was an international opera star. She sang all over Europe and America. She sang in Bayreuth, Germany, Covent Garden in London, the Metropolitan Opera in New York. And in 1972, I think, Governor Curtis decreed August 17th, Nordica Day, which commemorates the date when she last performed for the local people in Farmington. And the main chapter of the National Association of Teachers of Singing, which is NATS, presents an annual award in her name each year, and the winning student performs a concert in the Nordica Auditorium at the University of Maine at Farmington, and her birthplace in Farmington is now a memorial homestead that you can go and visit.
And from opera to pop, right now, there's a big band, an international hit band, dance band, pop techno named the Chainsmokers. One of its, the duo is Drew Taggart from Freeport, Maine. So the music in Maine keeps changing and growing. And Aaron, what would you like to say as you look back over these, you know, centuries, is there a thread that ties it together?
Well, not just in Maine, but in music in general, every single genre of music that has been developed all the way from indigenous to what was happening in the sacred music supply belcher, then to what was happening in classical, and then the march and ragtime that then went into country and rock and roll. All of those have the very same fundamental root of music, and it just kept being borrowed and changed and borrowed and changed until what you have today. The rhythm that was found in Anna Kendrick's Cup Song is the same rhythm that you can find 200 years ago, or even centuries ago. And that's what's the beauty of music, that it's just still passed down through time.
Mm. Ending with an email from Scott. According to various sources on the internet, Sousa, Stars and Stripes Forever, debuted in Philadelphia in 1897. According to a plaque in the museum, it debuted here in Augusta on May 1st, 1897, before it was even named. So as you were saying, Aaron, you have focused on people who were born in Maine, from Maine, but so many connections with music in Maine. I so appreciate you being on the program today. Aaron Robinson, an award-winning composer, Grammy Academy recording artist, and a musicologist. Sandra Harris ran the board today. Mike Jandro composed our theme music. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Bernstein Shore, a law firm dedicated to clients' businesses and their best interests. BernsteinShore.com. By the Cedars, creating home with Samuel L. Cohen Households, opening late 2020. Learn more at thecedarsportland.org. And by Androscoggin Home Healthcare and Hospice, providing home care, hospice, and palliative care. And now, telehealth. Androscoggin.org.
So many amazing connections to musicians here in Maine. And over, you know, hundreds of years, what an interesting and informative show that Maine Calling was. 1-800-866-1475. That's the number to call to support programming just like Maine Calling, or specifically Maine Calling. 1-800-866-1475. That is the number to call. It is the final day of our Pledge from Home membership drive, and there's no better time to call than right now. 1-800-866-1475.
Thank you very much, Susan Tran. 1-800-866-1475. They were talking about music that ties the state of Maine together. Maine Calling is a program that ties the state of Maine together. We were talking earlier about how it's done just that over the last several months in a big way as we navigate our way through the COVID-19 pandemic. Many interesting topics. The show expanded to 2 hours there for quite some time. And listenership is way up, and we know that for sure. We have a scientific way of knowing that, and it is true. 1-800-866-1475, and we're talking to you today about your support for your public radio station, for Maine Calling, perhaps for Here and Now, All Things Considered, any of the programs that you listen to and value, because that is how public radio happens, quote-unquote, by listener support. 70% of our funding comes from you. Please, go to the phone right now. Don't think about it. Just do it. Our pledge producer would like it if I was a little more direct, I think. 1-800-866-1475. You select the amount or online at mainepublic.org.
That's right. Has your listening habits, have your habits changed during the pandemic? Are you working from home, maybe driving a little less? Has this made you more of a public radio listener? Perhaps you've discovered new public radio programming that you didn't even know existed. You know, maybe you were someone who used to drive in listening to Morning Edition, would get to work at 8, and then turn it back on when you got in your car at 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon to All Things Considered, not even knowing that all of this amazing programming existed in the middle of the day, you know, from On Point and Here and Now, Maine Calling, so much great programming that maybe you've been missing before. Whether you're discovering it now or whether you've been listening for years and years, it is programming that is worth your support. Invest in it today, 1-800-866-1475 or online at mainepublic.org.
Talking about music on Maine Calling today, I'd like to mention the Maine Public Classical Channel, of course, 4 years old now, offering great classical music for folks who want it when they want it. Lots of it, not like we had before. But the other thing that's happened since Maine Public Classical came to be is Maine Public Radio has grown in significant ways in terms of offering you this midday programming or evening programming or wherever it might be that really reflects the best programming that's available in the system in terms of news and public affairs. Didn't always have that here before. 1-800-866-1475. We're able to do that because listener support made it possible. We have months and years ahead of listening. Won't you do your part and support one of the following stations? WMEA Portland, 90.1. WMEH Bangor, 90.9. WMEW Waterville, 91.3. WMED Callis, 89.7. WMEM Presque Isle, 106.1. WMEF Fort Kent, 106.5. And WMEP Camden, 90.5. All listener-supported, all part of Maine Public Radio.
That's right. You put the public in public radio. Won't you call now, 1-800-866-1475. It's the final hours of our Pledge from Home membership drive. Now is that the best time to call, 1-800-866-1475 or online at mainepublic.org. Whatever is the right amount for you, we are so appreciative of your support and generosity. Thank you.
Thank you.